Let's go.
You're listening to Making Data Simple, where we make the world of data effortless, relevant, and yes, even fun.
Hey folks, welcome to Making Data Simple. Al Martin here. I am so lucky to be able to talk tech with leaders in the industry. The great news is I get to ask the questions. I take the easy chair and I learn a lot. Today's topic or category is data, startup leadership, workload management. I have John Derbyshire with me today. Let me give a little background on John. John, in 2021, John and his team launched SmartSuite, which is a management platform that manages any process from any industry on one platform. If I give the company line, and John, you'll have to correct me if I mess anything up here, but SmartSuite is transforming how organizations get work done by providing a collaborative work management platform that enables teams to plan, track, and manage workflows. And that's whether it's a project, ongoing process, or routine everyday task. Prior to SmartSuite, in 2000, John founded Archer Technologies, and they provided enterprise governance, risk, and compliance software. And Archer Technologies was purchased by EMC Corporation in 2010. And then prior to that, John held leadership positions at both Ernst & Young and Price Waterhouse. Now, I just gave that a high level. I understand you went to K-State. I went to KU. We're going to have to chat about that. But we've got some common threads. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So let's just go right there. Kansas State, you graduated. Are you from the area, Midwest, or what?
Yeah, I grew up in a small town in Kansas called Hayesville, just right outside of Wichita. I think maybe on our best day, it was maybe 8,000 people that were there. And pretty much everybody where I grew up, if you went to college and you had a choice between K-State and KU, you were a K-Stater. So I eventually made my way to K-State.
I made my way to KU because I'm from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Same thing here. Go to KU. If you're Wichita, go to K-State. I got that. I was going to show you my my championship flag over here, but I'll leave that alone. I'll leave that alone. The basketball championship. At least we got something in common. My my middle daughter went to K-State.
Okay.
And look, I'd been to K-State for a few parties, Aggieville. Okay. And look, I think it's a great school. I could even wear a KU shirt and they treated me well.
Yeah, I have a similar situation. My son, he grew up in Kansas City and was a KU guy. So he went to KU. So I had my full dose of, I had the KU, K-State shirts that were kind of split in half that I would wear to most of the games.
Well, the good news for me is obviously we have a basketball team, a college basketball team. We have no football team. So when I adopted K-State, I had a football team.
Exactly.
So it worked out. It worked out well, man. So now you got a basketball team.
For sure.
Can you even vote for KU, though, being from K-State, even though your money went there, right?
It did. I still have a hard time watching KU, but yeah, I pulled for him in the last championship.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I gave a quick intro, but please talk to your experience. Give us some history here.
Yeah, for sure. So like we said, I grew up in a small town in Kansas, went to K-State. When I graduated K-State, I just packed up everything I had that I could fit in my car, made a couple car payments in advance, and drove to Southern California. I'd never been there. I had a friend that lived in the area that I talked to about 6 months prior, said I could sleep on his floor when I got there. I showed up at his apartment, and he had moved out. But he had told the person that had moved in I might be showing up. So I met somebody new and slept on their floor for probably 2 months before I found a job in Newport Beach, California. That's what kind of kicked my career off. I thought I wanted to get into real estate development at the beginning, and I went to work for a accounting and tax firm that did the tax work for one of the largest real estate developers in Southern California. So for about 3 years, I kind of cut my teeth on understanding real estate development, how he made his money. And what was happening during that time is I was slowly moving into tech. So I began to take over the organizations or build their first network and bring them online and just automate things. And that kind of started my journey from a business process automation standpoint. And after, I don't know, 7 or 8 years in Southern California, I had the chance to actually run the Midwest practice what was at the time called cybersecurity for Pricewaterhouse, and moved back to Kansas City at that point in time. And then 3 or 4 years later, Ernst & Young came calling and asked me to run their global cybersecurity practice. So I stayed in Kansas City. They wanted me to move to New York or Cleveland, but I was kind of entrenched in Kansas City, and they allowed me to stay there and kind of build the team in Kansas City, even though we had a pretty a global footprint. We had about 1,500 people in the practice globally, so pretty good sized practice. You know, during that time, I had the chance to kind of travel the world, meet with lots of great clients, and kind of listen to and you know, provide services to them and kind of listen to their concerns around cybersecurity, and had an idea to build a product that would help organizations manage governance, risk, and compliance inside an organization in the same way that you manage, you know, accounts receivable, accounts payable, HR, those types of processes. So looked at security as a process and founded Archer Technologies. And yeah, I'll let you jump in and ask some questions, but that's kind of the story of how I got started.
No, that's terrific. And now you're in SmartSuite. You just launched SmartSuite 2021. Backing up for a bit. So you're still in Kansas City now?
No, I'm in Newport Beach, California. So
you moved back.
We did. The weather is too good to be true. It's about 73 degrees where we live on the beach almost every day year round. So, yeah.
So how long have you been in Newport then? A couple of years or just after the sale?
After the sale. So we've been here now 8 or 9 years again.
8 or 9 years. So you always kind of wanted to get back. So a Kansas kid heads to California and stays in California.
I did. I think we love Kansas City. You know, we love the Chiefs. I see the helmet sitting behind you. Yes. We make it back for a lot of games. You know, all my family's back in that region. But home now is Southern California.
But your son went to KU. Did he stick around here? Or is he?
Interesting enough, he did KU. Then he was out here for about 5 or 6 years, and he just recently, in the last year, moved back to Kansas City to be closer to some of his high school friends that he grew up with.
So I want to talk about workplace automation, but I want to talk about SmartSuite just for a second. 2021, well, that's kind of a interesting time to start a new business, right? What made you say, hey, this is the right time?
Yeah. You know, when we were at Archer Technologies, we built this no-code platform to kind of manage security processes. And what we found is that and we had 29 of the top 30 financial services companies were customers, you know, 75 of the Fortune 100. And what we found is that in addition to manage security processes, they were using our platform to manage other business processes in their company, and some of them over 100 other processes. And that's always been on my mind, to eventually build a platform that could manage any process in any company. And the idea actually kind of came back in 2019, when I understood that the technology kind of caught up with the vision that we had, where we could really build out everything that was needed to solve this problem for the first time. And we started that journey almost 3 years ago now, and we had 100 developers for about 2.5 years. We were very silent, and we just started building the platform. And it's very different than most software companies that work for 6 months and introduce an MVP product and then go to market and refine it. We felt like we needed to solve this full problem all at once, and we couldn't go to market with it half solved, or customers would view us as not being able to, you know, solve their problems longer term. So a little bit different story, but we spent a tremendous amount of time with a lot of people to build the core technology. We did a soft launch in January of this year, and we're doing our big March market push starts in July of this year.
So let me make sure I understand this. So you are actually investing or developing the product a couple of years prior to launching SmartSuite. Was the company exist? You were investing? Was it your own money, your venture capitalists, or how did you get started?
Yeah, no. So SmartSuite existed. We just didn't announce it. We didn't put anything on LinkedIn or website or anything until late January of this year. Mm-hmm. I personally put in about $15 million to kind of build the core piece of where we're at to date. And we're just in the middle of kind of raising our first Series A.
Sounds good. So let's talk about workplace automation. Let's get everybody listening on the same page. Can you define it, you know, just outline what it's really about?
Sure. Yeah, most people think of business process automation as helping manage the core processes in their business, from sales and marketing and customer success and HR and you know, on and on among those core processes. And what we're doing at Smart Suite is we're allowing you to have a single platform to manage all of those processes in one place without the need to maybe purchasing 6 to 8 other products that you would need. Maybe you have Salesforce for sales and HubSpot for marketing and Zendesk for HR, and you know, you kind of round out your suite. Our thesis is that it's going to be better for people to manage all of that on a single platform. And what's really happened in the last 3 or 4 years is you've seen products in the project management space that have really taken off and doing well managing projects, and they're starting to creep a little bit into the process side, like a Monday.com, Asana, a ClickUp, an Airtable, but they're really not process management centric tools. So Smart Suite is meant to set on top of those tool sets, meaning to be just like a level or two above. We do project management as well, just like those tools, but we're closer to like a ServiceNow, a Mendix, and OutSystems with our capabilities of really managing large enterprise processes inside of organizations.
But I do know there's a lot of players. I mean, and I'm trying to figure out how all these players hook together. You talked about Monday.com. I know about them. So I'm interesting. You say you sit on top of that. I'd be curious as to how that works. There's NetSuite, there's Scoro. Are those in the same ballpark? I mean, there's a lot of players in the business right now, but maybe they're solving a different problem. I don't know. Help me.
Yeah, you kind of have two categories of companies. So you kind of have these legacy companies that have been around 12 plus years, right, with the Scoro that you're talking about, the Open Pages, Mendix, ServiceNow, that are really heavy, what you call low-code platforms, meaning that you can drag and drop and configure processes, but in most of the cases, you have to actually write code. So you have to hire developers and have large teams of consultants to actually manage, you know, and set up those processes for you. Then you've got these new entries into the market that have happened in the last 4 to 5 years around project management, like Monday.com that you're familiar with, that are really good at managing tasks and projects, right? But they really weren't built to manage processes. They're really good at just individual tasks and projects that's there. But what's nice about those platforms that they're all drag and drop, very intuitive, interesting user interfaces. It's kind of the next generation of user interface, very easy to use. Smart Suite wants to provide that type of capability. It's easy for anybody to set up and manage things inside of Smart Suite, but we give you the capabilities of these enterprise products that are built in so that any organization, matter if you're 2 users to 5,000 users, you have the ability to come in and use a single platform to manage things. A good example would be maybe you need to manage sales in your organization. We allow you to download a template in 3 seconds that's a best-in-class process for managing a CRM inside of a company. You can tailor that for your needs. It typically takes a couple of hours to tailor a pretty large process inside of Smart Suite. And then you can start inviting users, managing permissions. You can integrate with other products if you need to. Again, all of that in one place. And that's what's different in the space that's happening just in the last few years under work management is one place to manage work that gives you all of the features that you need to manage any type of process that you have in place. And many people think about that as really a business operating system, just like you have like an iOS, you have an iPhone and you have iOS and you have things built on top of iOS. Smart Suite is like a business operating system where you just configure and build things on top of us in one platform. And there's a lot of value to be gained from that in that you only have to train employees in one place. There's a big ROI on the cost savings that are there. I don't have to pay for 5 or 6 products. I can pay for 1 or 2. Our entry point pricing is $10 per user per month. So we give you those enterprise features at a very low price point, and our enterprise pricing is $35 per user per month. So pretty economical. Like when we were at Archer and we were selling a very similar type product just for the GRC space, you know, our average customer was paying in the $350,000 to $400,000 a year versus our average customer going to be in the $25,000 to $30,000 range, same size customer.
You say you incorporate project management, but that's only one element. Could you explain that or elaborate?
Yeah, so we look at, we can manage any process or any project inside of a company. And, you know, managing a project is, a project to us is just something that has a defined endpoint, a defined time frame that I'm doing these things over this period of time. And when they're done, that project is actually complete. That's kind of project management. We do all of that and give you the capabilities to manage and report on projects that are happening, to do different types of reports, whether it be know, timelines or calendars and share that information with people. There's dashboards so you can chart and graph all the information, you know, that's happening as well, all in one place. A process to us is something that's more ongoing over a period of, you know, it never stops. That's there, like your customer relationship management solution that would have things that are like accounts and contacts and opportunities and deals. Those aren't necessarily tasks. Those are just things that need to get done inside of an organization, very different from our project.
I want to ask you about use cases in terms of how you put everything together. But if I am a customer smart suite, this is essentially my dashboard. Is that the word I'm looking for? In other words, I come into the business every day. I open up Smart Suite and I've got a lens into all my business processes, my workings, whether it's CRM, whether it's my sales platform, et cetera. I mean, is it end to end?
It is. Now, most of our customers have other systems that they want to continue to use, whether they're internal or just systems that they don't want to move into Smart Suite. So we provide what we call an automations capability that allows you to share information between our product and any other product that's there. We have a connector through a company called Zapier that gives us access to about 4,000 other products. So when you connect to Zapier, you automatically connect to us as well. That's there. So our goal is not to have you have to have those 6 to 8 typical products, you know, to kind of run your business, maybe cutting that down to 2 to 3 products with Smart Suite kind of being the main hub for that. But when a user would log in, you know, my dashboard, my homepage would show me what, which we call a workspace, would show you, you know, here's all of our sales processes. I can click to go in to do my work there. Here's all of our marketing processes. Maybe here's our customer care, our HR. It's all just in that one place for you.
How much of it is automated versus customized relative to a customer's business processes?
Yep. So we, out of the box, we provide 200 templates that are really best in class processes that can be used. So let's say you're interested in marketing. We just had a call with a marketing agency this morning. They were interested in just those processes around managing marketing across their clients inside of their agency. So they download the template and we showed them how to drag and drop and move the information around the different fields that they want to collect and invite their people. And all of that happened in about an hour and a half for them to begin to transition and to use a new platform to manage marketing for them. So there's no, in our product, there's no custom code. Everything, all of our customers are on the same code base. They're just configuring the information differently from company to company. And I have to say, no two companies are ever 100% the same that's there. They want to view the reports maybe a little differently. The information that they're collecting might be a little different, but the core process itself is the same.
This may be a bad example, but if I'm using Salesforce as my sales tool, and you know, I don't know what I'm using, something else for marketing, etc. Do you got a plugin for Salesforce, or so that it just easily integrates as part of the template as you describe it, or what would I do in that case?
Yep. So you have two options there. You can continue to use Salesforce, or you could move that same information into Smart Suite. The value there for somebody is going to be the cost of Salesforce versus Smart Suite. That's there. But if you want to keep your information in Salesforce, but maybe use some of that information in different ways inside of your company and other processes, we just have a connector that just connects to Salesforce. You decide maybe the account information is already in Salesforce and you don't want to duplicate that. You just sync that back into Smart Suite as well.
Is Smart Suite going straight to the data, or it doesn't bring any widgets to give you like a pane of glass that looks like Salesforce within Smart Suite? You're using your own view, just leveraging the data in that case?
It is, but the way you visualize data in Smart Suite is similar to what you would see in Salesforce. It looks a little better than what Salesforce looks, but it's the same type of visualization that you would see. And when I say looks better, what I mean by that is, you know, the Salesforce platform was built in 2002, the core platform that's there. It's hard for them to make a change with the hundreds of thousands of customers that they have to kind of move forward. Our technology was built just 3 years ago on the latest, greatest technology that's available. And we spent quite a bit of time working with millennials and Gen Zers to understand the way that they want to work inside of a platform. And our interfaces are tailored to those people. And we feel that those are the people that do the majority of the work in a company. So it's going to feel much more collaborative and interactive than what you would see inside of a Salesforce. Just a little, you know, updated kind of UI and design. And it, what we found, especially with the millennials, is that not only do they want to be able to collaborate in real time and share information like they do in Facebook and Twitter and Insta and such, all those capabilities are built directly in the platform. But they also want to be able to see what their team members are working on through activity feeds, where they could just see a listing of all the things that are getting done across different teams, just to kind of stay connected with the team. They also want to have, you know, member profiles that are similar to Facebook, where each person in the company can complete their profile and share both professional and personal information together. So they kind of building that more collaborative culture inside of an organization where I can, you know, not just do my work, but I have a sense of what's happening with work, not in, in my team, my department, but maybe even the company.
So does that mean to say that you have a personal, like social feed within SmartSpeed as well, that's being shared across the business?
It is. So are you familiar with Slack at all?
Oh, yes. I'm very familiar with Slack.
Yeah. So we have, you know, we have Slack capabilities that are built in natively. What you probably love about Slack is that it's very easy for you to talk to anybody at any time. What you probably don't like about Slack is sometimes you lose the context of a conversation that you had because it's not tied to something. Well, in SmartSuite, everything's tied to the work that you're doing, but you have a Slack channel just for that, that work. And by work, it could be a particular task. So if I need a, I'm working on something and I'm like, I need that one more piece of information, I can just open up the conversation. I could mention a person, ask them for this information. They can respond back. It all stays in the context of the work that I'm doing.
Seems like you've used Slack before. But yeah, I guess, you know, I need to just kind of visualize it myself in terms of how all this is integrated together. I mean, going back to Salesforce, because we can use another example if you like, but going back to Salesforce, what's the ROI I get? Why not just use Salesforce as a, an app itself?
Sure. So the first thing that you might look at, and we've had a lot of customers that move to us because of just the cost, right? If you are on the full-blown version of Salesforce with all the bells and whistles, it's 300 plus a year per or per month per person that's on there. SmartSuite starts at $10 per user per month with the same feature set that you're going to see inside of Salesforce. All the same capabilities with being able to track and manage anything related to, you know, customer relationship management that's there. The real power that starts to happen in SmartSuite, though, is I have my sales information in SmartSuite. I have my marketing information in SmartSuite. And maybe I have my customer support or, you know, customer success information. All three of those need to share information in regards to accounts and contacts. And the sales team needs to know if there's any open tickets, you know, for customers with an unhappy customer. Before they, you know, they talk about an upgrade, the marketing wants to know what customers are converting, what customers do we have. So you see this interconnection of all this data between that you're sharing between these three processes now, as opposed to maybe having Salesforce and HubSpot and Zendesk as separate products that are doing all those same things.
How is the data shared amongst those different elements, and how do you protect privacy at the same time? Are you, you know, I guess just the whole thing around data, how's data used? How's it shared? How's it maintained? And are you moving data to make this work?
No. If you're inside of SmartSuite, we don't need to move data. If you are working with SmartSuite and Salesforce, there's data that's moving between the two products. Inside of both products, SmartSuite and Salesforce, we allow you to have different levels of permissions and roles for people to actually to control that data. So let's say in Salesforce, you have in your CRM, you have a list of accounts, right? And the first thing you could do is you could say, here's a list of people that have access to see this information in accounts. But then you can take it down a level and say, maybe I only want John to see accounts that are assigned to him. So maybe there's 1,000 records in there, but I only have 10 that I can see. So I can very quickly narrow that down. We can also narrow it down by field type. So maybe I want you to be able to see 10 fields of information, but when I pull up the same record, I only see 5 that's there. So that's very easy to just to set up the permissions. And then that follows you. It follows that data anywhere it goes. So if you're looking at a report, you're looking at a chart or a graph, you're sending this information to another product. You can't do any of that unless you actually have access to the data.
So it sounds like you have personas, if you will, within SmartSuite for data access. And sure, you're moving data when you're gathering data, but you're not like moving data from one repository like Salesforce to another. It stays correct in that central location. You're just given permissions to access it and within SmartSuite.
It is, yes, correct.
If we take a step back, what's the sales pitch here? I mean, there's got to be a return on investment scenario or use cases that work best. I know I'm using Salesforce just because I use that every day. I use Slack every day. Slack's on the left screen over here, so I use that every day. I've got Outlook over to my right. I got OneNote. I mean, I got a mess. So what's the sales pitch and what use cases work best?
Yeah, I think that there's two different kind of main pitches that we have. The first one are small and medium-sized businesses that are really managing their business using spreadsheets and documents and email and Slack and OneNote and their mobile device. And maybe they have some HR stuff and maybe they have a little bit of Salesforce, you know, a sales front somewhere. Those are the easy ones because we can show them how we can solve all those problems and put all their information in one place. I'll give you a great example. We work with a classic car garage here in Southern California that has about 150 classic cars that they manage for people, meaning they store them and then the customers can come get them from the location and take them out. They manage their entire business on their mobile phone from the owner, and the people that were in the warehouse with the cars, every time a person would call and say, I need to check out a car, he would have to physically call somebody in the warehouse and say, pull this car out, right? And he tried to manage some of that on spreadsheets and QuickBooks. In 2 hours, he put everything in SmartSuite, and now all he does is, if the customer does a request, it automatically goes to the people in the warehouse. The people in the warehouse pull the car out. They can see if the car's been checked out. Like, it's all 100% automated, and it's allowed him to actually grow his business now because he can get more done because he's automated. He's not the single point of failure for them. So that's a good example for like somebody that's, you know, that's running their business and then he's making really good money, but he's not formalized any of his processes. And then we have, you know, more enterprise accounts, you know, into the Fortune 1000 that have very defined processes over time, but they need, you know, more efficient ways to get things done with more automation. The user interfaces for the people that they're working with need to be more dynamic. You know, if you're going to work in a product for 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, you don't want to look at something that's not visually appealing, you know, to get, you would prefer not to, if you had a choice that's there. And SmartSuite gives you the ability to do both, to automate those processes at a level maybe you haven't done prior and to, you know, show a new technology that's available on both mobile and web.
You got reporting, visualization, analytics, even AI built in?
It is. Yep. All that's built in.
And that's a lot to do that in a new application. With quality in 2 years, man, how'd you do it?
Yeah, so it's closer to three, and we've had about 100 developers that have been just working, you know, to kind of pull it off. And it's just, we basically took a set of features that typically goes across 7 or 8 different product categories, you know, starting with form builders and project management and process management and the collaboration, the business intelligence, you know, the integration. Like, we put them all into a single platform. So now I could do all of those things in one place without needing to have all these other products. I have to say it's fun now because it's done, but the last 2.5 years has not been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of stress to kind of get to that point where everything fit together and worked.
How do you survive the last couple of years? You're $15 million in, you don't got a product, you're just trying to get there. How do you stay true to your, and maybe you should talk about that, your mission statement, your values, so you don't lose faith and you know, you're all in all the time and end up achieving your ultimate outcomes.
Yeah, I think you just said it. You have to be all in all the time. It's not this hasn't been a, you know, 40, 50 hour a week job. It's been a, you know, 7 day a week for a couple of years, you know, to make it a reality that's there. And we felt that we couldn't deliver piecemeal what we needed to. We had to bring everything to market at one time to solve the problem that we felt people had, you know, that needed to be solved. And we started, you know, pre-COVID and thought we had a pretty novel idea in that we wanted to hire people, the best people we could find anywhere in the world, and not limit ourselves to 30 miles from a particular geography. right? When we started Archer Technologies in Kansas City, you know, the majority of our 160 people lived within 30 miles of that office, right? And came to the office every day. So we have people in 9 different countries working on, you know, 24 hours a day with all the time zones that we kind of have in place. Very different model. And then when COVID hit, everybody kind of had to move to that model with remote work. And it's more of a norm, but at the time it felt kind of novel, not so much, you know, today. But for us, we're 100% remote company with just a few exceptions. We have 5 or 6 people in little offices in key places that just happen to be grouped together. But we're a remote first company.
Your values before or your values now, where everybody else had to change their values or at least revisit them. Some of them are going back to in the office, et cetera. But let me play this out. You get bought out by EMC in 2010. I presume you could have made a decision then to ride off into the sunset, retire, enjoy life. Instead, you decide, no, let's start a new business. Let's go through hell yet again. Tell me how that decision was made and why you think you're doing something that no one else is currently achieving right now.
Yeah, I think the reality is I did retire for 7.5 years. We started a family foundation in Kansas City to do some really cool things around youth programs, women's initiatives, and entrepreneurial programs. We had a what we called an incubator, a 15,000 square foot office in Overland Park where we would bring in entrepreneurs to work on their ideas that were there. What I found after time was that I played as much golf as I could play. I traveled as much as I could travel. I didn't have a passion, and I missed having that passion. I was just kind of getting up and going through the motions every day. And I thought that that was going to be fantastic to retire and to do that. But I found that I love building software. Like, that's my passion. I love working with young, energetic people that have a passion to do that as well. And that's what got me back into it. It was 2018, and a team of people from Archer in Kansas City were at a meeting in San Diego, and they asked me to come down and meet them for dinner after their conference one day. And I left that dinner just realizing that I miss working with these types of people. And I feel like I'd never finished the vision that I had at Archer to manage any process in any company. And the first thing I did was I came back home, and I spent the next 3 months analyzing all the players in the space. I came up with 400 data points, and I analyzed those 400 data points across 20 some companies to kind of see where the market was at. And I found a need right in the middle, you know, from the project management and the really large process management companies to manage things in a different way that hasn't been done before. You know, a new UI, more simpler to use, more collaborative, bring all these different capabilities into one platform. And the reason I felt like I was the person to bring this forward is, you know, we built one of the very first no-code platforms at Archer. That, you know, you can argue if we were first or Salesforce was first, but we both started in the same, you know, 2 or 3 month span of each other. Archer, I think, does around $750 million a year in recurring revenue now in Overland Park. And, you know, Salesforce has killed it. They're in the billions of revenue. But both have been very successful with the no-code platform. So I felt like I had the experience in understanding what a no-code platform was all about. So when we went to build it this time, I took all the lessons learned from the 11 years building Archer to kind of build it the right way from the beginning that was there.
I presume you had a pretty strong support system. Was your family ready for you to go back to work?
Well, at Archer, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, I founded that company with my wife, Tara, and my mom. And Tara ran sales and marketing for us, and mom ran all operational pieces, and I was everything else. And I got the bug to jump back in, and my wife was still kind of retired. And come January, it was about December, she started getting real excited when she saw the product in action. And she said, I'm back in with you. So she runs sales for us again. So we're back to, you know, a family run business.
Nice. So how does that work? Is that, it'd be kind of hard to negotiate with your wife on a business sense, but you must have figured it out.
You know, when we were at Archer, we had offices on opposite sides of the company on purpose. It's that, you know, we wanted to have something to talk about when we went home. And we would just interact as we needed to at work. And it's similar here. She's really good at sales and she does her thing. I just kind of get out of the way. And then, you know, I'm really good on the product and the design and solving problems for the customer side. So the two of us team up pretty well. And then there's a third founder, Pete Novosel, who is our CTO and VP of product at Archer. I reached out to him 2 years ago and said, hey, we're doing something really interesting. Do you want to look at it? And he took a peek and I said, we didn't want you to just look at it. We want you to join us as a founder. So it took a few months, but we talked him in to join us as well. So it's the three of us that we've worked together for, you know, 20 years.
Very good, man. That's you're amazing to be able to balance all that. So speaking of sales, you've been out since January. How are we doing?
We're doing well. So our formal launch actually happens here in July. We have a couple hundred customers ranging from mom and pops up to, I can't say their name, but the largest real estate hedge funds in the world over, you know, billions upon billions of dollars and, you know, and everything in between. So our big launch happens here, you know, like I said, in July, but we've just crushed it here in the first 4 months as well.
Is this a case, John, where given you know, you ran Archer, do you bring out that old network, that index, and start calling folks? I mean, is that how it works, or do you do it different this time?
Yeah, we're doing it a little bit different this time. I think, you know, the new approach in SaaS software companies is this product-led growth strategy where everything is sold online through your website through a free trial. It allows users to come in and actually start a free trial with no credit card required. They can take the product for a test drive and see it's for them. If they're still not sure, we'll increase their trial from 14 days to 30 days. And if they're still not sure, they can move to our free plan forever, which limits them to just three users, but with the core of the capabilities. So the thought process around product-led growth is to let users try your product and until they perceive value, they don't have to purchase. So we've sold that all the way through enterprise customers that way that have found us with no sales touches, just coming to the website, downloading templates, playing, watching videos to get going. And then on the other side of that, we do have a direct sales channel more for the large and enterprise accounts where we're reaching out directly to them, you know, to educate them on what's available and inviting them to webinars and things to kind of set the hook that's there. We do have a pretty large network from the Archer days. We haven't tapped into that per se yet, but that's something that will happen towards the end of the year.
I presume, is this all SaaS? Is all on cloud, or can you get it on-prem?
No, it's all SaaS-based.
So how do you handle security? I mean, you were a security guy at one point, taking data from, you know, behind the firewall, throwing it on the cloud to get to some of your analytics. And do you have performance considerations?
So we've partnered with Amazon through AWS. So everything is offered through the Amazon cloud service offering. We have all the bells and whistles on the, you know, security compliance side attached to that through their network offerings that are there. And, you know, performance wise, with the new technologies that you have compared to technologies just 8 or 10 years ago, they're much more efficient, much more performant than they were. Most of our pages that you access are going to be sub-second to a second and a half, would probably be the max that's there with very large data sets. So that's one of the first things that people notice when they start using our product is it feels faster than products that they've used in the past. And it's because of the Amazon relationship and just the tech stack you know, that we built the platform on.
In the security piece?
Yeah, everything that you would expect to be built in is built in. All data is encrypted on the fly. You can run VPN if you want to, you know, where HTTPS, coming to the site. And then there's a whole host of things, you know, on the Amazon side that we're checking for viruses and file downloads and uploads. And, you know, we're sitting behind firewalls. You know, we're tracking for intrusion events. That's a part that Amazon has done just a great job of making that easier for SaaS companies to, you have to pay for it, but they can help manage that for you in most cases in a much better way than you could manage it yourself.
You talked about, hey, like I did the research, you know, somehow 400 different other companies in the space. What haven't they figured out that you figured out that sets you apart?
Yeah, I think that there's really two big pieces, right? There's the ease of use of a platform that provides this type of capability. And then there's the extensiveness of the feature set that's inside of there, meaning that, you know, I told you we took the 8 or 9 different product categories of products, and we provide 90 to 95% of those features in one platform. And that would start with like a form builder. I don't know if you use like Wufoo Forms or Typeform or, you know, something to collect form data. Then you have the project management tools. Then you have the process tools, the collaboration tools, the integration tools, the BI tools, you know, dashboarding, like all, and access control. All of that we put into one platform. So I don't have to think about having all these other products to manage my process. Everything that you need to be able to run your business is right there. And it's so simple to set up that, you know, a mom and pop or an enterprise can use the same technology to do that.
Is there a risk of being everything for everyone on this, or is that precisely the design point?
That's the design point. Like, you think about the concept of a business operating system, just like iOS on your, mm-hmm. you know, your mobile phone, and all the technology that's been built on top of that, you know, with all these different apps and different companies. We've done that, what we call the Smart Suite platform, right? So we built all these capabilities in, and it can not only be used by people to automate processes inside their own company. We have consulting organizations that are building products on top of our platform and selling to their customers like it's from them, even though it's on top of us that's there. So our long-term vision is to kind of be the platform of choice for managing any process, you know, in an organization.
What I heard you say is you work really with all customer profiles, small, medium, even enterprise. But is there a certain customer profile that, should they be listening to this podcast right now? I mean, they should be like excited. I mean, that's your sweet spot.
Yeah, there's a couple, right? So there's the core processes that are in any business that we've mentioned a few times around, you know, sales and marketing and human resources, software development, customer success, product management, creative design. All of those we can solve. You know, we have, you download one of our solution templates, it's a best in class process. It's likely as good or better than what you have today. And now all that information is interconnected. That's the easiest sell that we have when we can show a company that all of that can be in one place, you know, right now. But then we go across industries as well. We've had really good luck with marketing agencies that are actually using our product to manage relationships with their customers, professional services firms that are doing projects inside of customers, construction industry, real estate industry. We have quite a number of legal clients that have came on board. So that's the beauty of the vision, is that we're able to solve all those problems on one platform, and we're not doing anything different. It's just, you're just configuring the information that you want. And in most cases, we work with a great client, we configure it, put things in a template, and we share that information back with all the other clients that are there. So it's as long as you're willing to share, we'll continue to update our information so everybody can take advantage of it. The car garage was a great one that I told you about. Another really fun one, I don't know if you're into UFC fighting, but one of the largest talent agencies for UFC fighters. They have about 300 fighters. They manage everything in spreadsheets and all the contracts with all the fighters and promotions Wow. all around the world. We moved them over in just 2 days to a new platform. And it is so cool just to see all the fun stuff that they're now doing, because they're on the road most of the time. They're at fights in different countries. So they use our mobile device to manage their business as opposed to calling back to the office to everybody.
Wow. Makes sense. I'm confused now though. You've got a lot of customers. Are these just like beta customers? Are they live? Are your references? Because I think you said somewhere like in July you're going live.
Well, we did a soft launch in late January. So we've got a little over 200 customers. So yeah, we're live with, it's not beta. They're actual customers.
Okay.
We're doing a marketing, you know, push that happens here in July that is really going to announce us to the world globally. We're in 15 languages, the product is already. So most of the things we've been doing, about 80% of our customers right now are US, 20% outside the US. We'll be doing a bigger global push on that here in July.
As we kind of wrap up here, what is the definition of success as you would define it? I mean, is it evaluation? Is it the number of references? Is it just getting revenue in the door? I mean, what kind of outcome are you looking at in the horizon, like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year?
Yeah, I think success for us is customers and processes, you know, problems that we can solve. That will determine the long-term success of the company. We're definitely focused on revenue, but the more customers we have, the better our product's going to be long term. You know, as we understand all these edge cases and special ways that people need to manage processes, because once we build it, it's available to everybody that's in there. So our core focus as a company right now is we're bringing on every type of customer. We don't want just salespeople or just marketing people or just customer success. Like, we want as many different use cases as we can get that's in. And that will go on probably for 2 years. And what you're seeing in the market right now is that the value of SaaS companies is based more on customer growth than it is on dollar growth that's there. The value of the company will come over time if we focus on the customers.
Pure subscription type of scenario, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at Archer, in the 9 years that we had it, we had a 97.6% renewal rate across that whole period, not just 1 year, that whole time.
Right.
We would love to have, you know, something close to 90% in this business as well. So we're really striving to focus on the customer. We don't push a customer either way on whether they want to pay for a year in advance or month to month. It doesn't matter to us. We give them a 20% discount if they want to pay a year in advance, but we don't push either direction. And as a CEO, I actually like the month to month revenue better because it forces our teams to ensure that the customer's happy each month along the way, right? And we're catching those problems and showing them how we can fix them versus even waiting to the end of the year to have that discussion that's there. We use our own product to manage every process in our own company. So we eat our own dog food.
I like that.
Right. So when customers, like I did a webinar this morning, and we actually showed how we manage that process. And it's a lot of fun to see how a product like SmartSuite can help build a culture in a company when everybody is remote, because you need to connect all the time and it allows us to stay connected. And that's one of the reasons that we decided to go remote, was we wanted to either prove or disprove that we could help build culture. So culture trust is, you know, it happens every day. We, you know, I told you we're in 9 different countries around the world. We do stand-up calls every morning with each person on every team. It takes me about 2 hours, but I touch every person in that first 2 hours of every day. And sometimes it's as fast as, this is what I did yesterday, this is what I'm doing today, I have this one question, we're on to the next person. But it starts with me and our CTO, Pete, to have those calls every morning. Otherwise, you know, if we were in an office, we wouldn't have to do that as much. But being remote, it's important that we connect with them.
Look, I love it. I'm a fan. I don't do those every day. I did do them every day because I got I'm managing technical sales right now, and it's a little bit different. But I'm 100% with you. A lot of people look at that with like a raised eyebrow. I mean, just a retrospective, a stand up every day. You talk about accelerating your business. I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, just having that accountability, those key accountabilities and commitment to say, here's what I've done, here's what I'm going to do today. I mean, you come back, you end up doing it because you just said you were going to do it out loud to all your teammates, your peers, et cetera. I think it's huge. I think it's the right way to manage, man.
We do it in two ways. So we verbally do it on the calls, and then we can't have everybody from every team on every call. So we have a Slack channel that's daily check-in. And it's broken out by team, you know, mobile team versus web team. And everybody throws their stuff in there, in that feed. So everybody can see exactly what's happening if they want to. And I tell you what, everybody wants to go look at that to see what other people are working on. Like, it's interesting to them.
Well, I tell you what, John, you may not be a millennial, but you certainly sound like a millennial. Where can folks that are listening reach you? What's the best place to reach you?
Yeah, go to smartsuite.com. You can click on contact us if you want to reach me personally, send a message, I'll get back to you. You can also catch me at john.darbyshire or johndarbyshire at LinkedIn. It's John, it's J-O-N that's there. And I'll get right back to you.
Anything that I always like to ask this before I close, anything you wish I would have asked or you want to get out that you didn't have a chance to do so?
I don't think so. I think we went through pretty much everything I had on my list.
All right. So I only got to ask you a couple more before you close. Any advice you'd give to young entrepreneurs?
Yeah, that's hard to single it down into one thing. You know, I've invested in about 400 different startups, so I've had the chance to meet with a lot of founders. I can say that, you know, there's founders that you meet that have great vision And there's founders that you meet that are just really work hard, and you can just tell they have an incredible work ethic. And the best advice that I got was from Bain Capital, and they told me to focus on the people first, not the idea, because even, you know, the grinders can make things happen over time. And if they have a good idea and they're a grinder, meaning they can just work through anything, those are the people that are going to make it. And I've found that in the companies we've invested in, the ones that have the grinders, the CEOs and leadership team, that they, you know, problems don't defeat them. They just find ways to work through, are different than the guys or the gals that have these crazy visions, but they don't have the work ethic. And I've really been, those companies that I've invested in haven't done great, that had an amazing vision. And I go so excited about the product and the vision of the team. And some of the companies that I discarded and said, they're just going to be okay, those leadership teams have just crushed it. So I tend now to err on the side of, I focus on the people and look for the, what I call a grinder, you know, somebody that just, they can work through adversity, because it's going to happen as a startup founder.
So if you had to pick between vision and grinder, I know you want both.
Right.
What would you pick?
I'm going to err on the side of pedigree and grinder. I have another venture firm that I work with that they've had amazing success in pulling people out of Stanford that were managers of the Stanford paper. I'm not sure what, I can't think of what it's called right now, but the Standard University paper.
Right.
And those companies, the prior three people had went on to build some of the best tech companies, you know, some of the leading tech companies that you know of today. And there was a kid that was in his sophomore year that was 19 years old that I went and met with, younger than my kids. And they kept telling me, John, invest in the people. Like, he's going to be successful. It's either going to be this one or the next one, but you want to be in at the beginning. And I did. And they're absolutely right. Like, it's when you find the grinder with the knowledge, right, to solve the problem, even if they're not the visionary, like they're too young to have all that, focus on that. And so that's where I tend to invest now, is finding people that I feel are in the right place at the right time and just have a really strong work ethic.
You mentioned, I guess, Slack earlier. They had a different company mission. Then they find out Slack, hey, this is a pretty good tool right here. Let's switch and let's pivot. When you have, as you term, I like the word now, I'm going to start using it. As you have grinders, you find a way to get it done one way or another. If you pivot the company, you pivot the company, but you're successful.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you find a grinder that has the vision and can sell it, like, you, that's when you have the unicorn company. You know, that's when you see the, you know, the Ubers of the world and such, that, you know, if you look at the history of Uber, they're all about just working to the point of working too much, right? That was too bad on the culture. But the vision they had was something, just, it was so far out there, people couldn't get their head around.
John, it's been a pleasure. I learned a lot today, and it was fun talking to a fellow Midwesterner, not even Midwesterner, a fellow Kansas guy,
exactly.
Even though he likes California now. Now he's living in California, enjoying the fun and the sun. But I get the 73 degrees.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm still a big Chiefs fan, though, so I feel like I'm still connected to Kansas City.
Well, thank you for being here. It's a pleasure talking with you. Learned a lot. I wish you ultra success. And if there's anything that I can do for you personally, please reach out. I'm here to help.
I appreciate it. It's been a great time. I thank you for your time.
And listeners, as always, hit us on almartintalksdata@gmail.com. We'd like to hear back from you. Please rate us. And until next time, we'll see you on the podcast. Thank you so much. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.